guardians, crystal keepers, gym lovers, and rock hounds. Welcome to There's a Rock for That. This is the show that is all about crystals, gems, and rocks of all varieties, where we will explore the folklore, metaphysical properties, and healing applications of the stone people. I'm Pterodactyl, and I welcome all of you, whether you're here to connect with the Crystal Kingdom, or discover what your rocks are about, or even sail the mystic seas to the land of dragons, where fairies greet us and unicorns gallop through magical forests to sacred stone temples. I'm so happy that you are here to share the experience. Well, today is our monthly Open Lines and Open Minds show that we do at the final Thursday of each month. So please feel free to call in with your questions about crystals, and I will try to answer them. And you can just call in also to just share your journey with crystals, because we always want to hear, you know, what your experience is like as well. We learn so much from each other that way. And you can even get a free crystal mini reading here on There's a Rock for That. And later on in the show, the final half, I guess, it's roughly that final half, or let's say the last 30 minutes or so of the show, we will be talking about this week's crystal guest, which is aquamarine. Very popular stone, I noticed. Once I started posting that the crystal guest this week was aquamarine, I got all kinds of responses like, that's my favorite, or that's one of my favorites. Usually it's one of, right? Because we all have so many different favorites if you're into crystals. So, you know, and in addition to taking calls and doing readings and exploring the wonders of aquamarine, we will also just kind of talk about, you know, where things are at. You know, we're here at the end of July. It's been a wild summer for a lot of people, especially weather-wise, if not, you know, everything else going on in the world, right? And, we'll talk about that. We'll see what we have coming up forward to in August. And also, let's see, we'll just shoot the breeze. Okay, so let's kick things off actually right now. I thought before I get too far into a bunch of different stuff, I want to go ahead and take a call because we have a call that's been waiting already almost 18 minutes. So without further ado, let's see who it is and what they have to say. And this is maybe coming from England. It's 77994 caller, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm there. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I was just listening, actually. I just wanted to listen into the show. I didn't really have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had your hand raised up because, you know, the switchboard is kind of funny sometimes. All right. Well, I can put you on back on hold so you can just listen in unless you want to share your experiences with crystals with us.
I love collecting precious and semi-precious gems, actually. Yes, and I wear a ruby, an emerald, a red coral, and a big pearl in my arm.
Oh.
So yeah.
Oh wow, wow! Are those your favorite stones, or do they have a special significance for you in particular?
Yes, they do. They have a astrological reason as well behind that. So yeah.
Well, those are some really lovely stones. Coral we talked about last week, and I was just remarking on how, you know, sometimes it seems like coral is sort of overlooked by people. They don't really, I don't know if it's taken for granted or they don't really think of it in the, you know, in the terms of being a crystal. But that's wonderful and synchronistic to hear somebody's, you know, it has special meaning to you.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All right, well, then I will go ahead and put you back on hold so you can listen into the show, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, so, you know, there's a lot that's been going on before we get into some more calls here. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I think, worldwide, I think that a lot of people were affected by, the unfortunate demise of Cecil the Lion, who, was shot by a trophy hunter in Zimbabwe. And this was a much beloved lion who everyone would, it was a big draw to the park and tourism for Zimbabwe. And everybody, would go and want to see Cecil, which they were often able to do because I guess he was always out kind of roaming around. And, it's with everything else happening in the world, I think that sometimes, we, animals get put to the bottom of the list of things that are important, things that people should care about. And one thing that I thought looking at all of the response, online to this, my timelines on social media sites, and I don't know if this is true for a lot of you, were just filled with reaction and outrage to it, to what happened to Cecil. And I think that it just kind of came to me that it's interesting that sometimes we have to wait for something bad to happen for awareness to come about. This is definitely, Cecil's passing has brought to mind a lot of people mentioning, which is good that, there's the Wildlife Foundation, there's, and in March we had the Global March for Lions, because they are an endangered species. And all of these different organizations and really, people out there that have dedicated their lives to conservation of many of our species on the planet, not to mention the planet itself. As much as we mourn the loss of Cecil, it's almost like hard not to see him in some ways as a martyr, And so what do we do with that? Well, in a sense, Cecil now becomes a symbol, and he lives on by being a symbol and that idea of martyrdom in a sense, senseless killing, yes. It was, but we can't change what happened. It, we can't go back in the past and rewrite the events. So we have to move forward, and we can still honor him even though he's no longer with us, and we can honor him by, either getting involved or donating to these different foundations that are helping to preserve lions and other species, or helping to preserve the earth. That's one way in which we can honor him. We can honor him by, and this is a, this might be a controversial idea, but this is something that I do from time to time here, where I live in my local city. Is we can go to the zoo. Now, I'm not saying that zoos are fantastic, and I'm not saying we should support zoos at all, but I'm saying that they're there already. And we've got magnificent creatures in cages at zoos. And being against the idea of caging them, or the zoo industry, doesn't change the fact that they're there anyway, regardless of what politics we may have when it comes to that. Because I do think that it is a political thing. And what I like to do is I'll go to our local zoo, and there, there's like three lionesses and a male lion at our local zoo. And I watch the people that go past the cages, and either they just walk right past them and ignore them, or they point at them, or they stare at them, or they stop for a few seconds. But I think that it's it's important to acknowledge them. You know, I go and I say a blessing to them, and I thank them. I thank them for their willingness to be there, to continue living there. You know, is it their idea that they're there? No. You know, would they rather be somewhere else? Yes. But they haven't given up on life. You know, you can see that, you know, it's not the ideal life to them, but, you know, they're there so people can see what a lion is like, and to some extent, obviously, it's not how they are in the wild, but I think it's important to honor those lions. At least one person goes there and goes there coming from a place of respect and out of love and gives a blessing, you know, in whatever words that you may choose to use to give that blessing, I think is fine. You know, I think it's the intention behind it. So I just felt it necessary. You know, I really did want to say that about Cecil, because that is so in the news, and there's a lot going on online where, you know, people are saying, well, you know, so, you know, why do people care more about, you know, a lion than they care about, you know, a person who may have unjustly had their life taken or cut short as well. And, you know, that's been really bothering me this week, because one, you know, caring, compassion, empathy, it's not mutually exclusive, right? Just because you care about one thing doesn't mean you don't care about another thing. And I think that's a big part of the problem that we've had, is that, you know, it doesn't seem like the masses, you know, because we can't really speak to individuals when we're looking at these broad topics or these, you know, news headlines. But it does seem like the masses don't care about an issue or someone or something unless it actually hits close to home and it affects them and it's in their backyard or it's on their street or in their town, you know. And I think that maybe that's the crux of a lot of the problems that we have in this world, is that we've got to realize that, you know, just like Martin Luther King Jr. said, you know, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Okay, so the injustice that happened to Cecil is a threat to all species. It's a threat to our planet. It's a threat to our humanity. You know, when you think about, you know, this lion, this magnificent creature was lured out of a park where he was protected and then killed in such a way that he suffered in agony for hours. You know, that shows that, you know, we've got a chink in the armor. We've got a weak link in our human family, because that the man who shot him is also a bit of a symbol too. He's not the only one that does these kind of things out there, and so we have to stand strong. You know, the lion has been important to mankind since the beginning of time. You know, if you look at, you know, any of the, I mean, my goodness, you know, you can go anywhere from Babylon to Egypt to Rome to England to the U.S. You see the lion on crests and seals and as a symbol of strength and of power and of courage and protection. And so, you know, taking all of those things into account, I think we have to have the courage to protect him, and through that, you know, through standing up for the animals who have no voice, I think that's where we can find our strength. So, and you know, just a little more about the lion, you know, is that, you know, and I thought this was interesting. This is actually from the lovely deck. I don't know if I've talked about this deck before, the Animal Spirits Knowledge Cards, and what it says about the lion. The lion has been a powerful symbol of strength and courage in cultures around the globe. Because of its mane and light color, it has also been associated with the sun, a symbol of heroism and a source of life and energy. In Buddhism, the lion symbolizes courage, nobility, and good luck. In medieval times, the image of a lion was a symbol of healing, and it could cure any disease as well as protect a traveler from harm. So I think that, you know, all of those things are important to think about, you know, when we take into account, you know, what has happened and how we react to it. And another reason that I wanted to bring this up is, you know, just in a few days, actually, this is the 30th today of July, and August 2nd is International Day of Forgiveness. Okay, I didn't make it up. And I thought that, you know, that's important to talk about too, you know, because what happened to Susa really, really brings up, I think, one of the biggest challenges when it comes to the concept of forgiveness. How do we forgive someone who has done something so cruel and so senseless? You know, how are we able to forgive somebody like that? Because it's easy to forgive the little things, right? Well, for some people, maybe we encounter some people that, you know, even the little things are hard to forgive. But how do we do this? You know, and what does it mean if we forgive? You know, does it mean that we're weak? Does it mean that we've thrown in the towel and we've given up and we said, okay, you know, you can do whatever you want and walk all over us? No, it doesn't. But what I think the easiest way to really look at the issue of forgiveness as we approach International Forgiveness Day, examine what happens when we don't forgive. What happens when we don't forgive? We hold a space within our minds, within our hearts, for negative energy. And there can be it's like kind of putting a little, you know, it's like putting a hole in your energy field. It actually weakens you to not forgive, which is kind of ironic because sometimes, you know, when people talk, you hear somebody talk about things that they consider unforgivable, you know, they usually say it in a very strong voice. You know, well, that's completely unforgivable. I will never forgive this, you know. Much as, you know, maybe the vocalization of it is in the expression of it sounds like it's coming from a position of strength, it's coming from a position of fear, and it's causing harm. And it's causing harm because it's creating a hole in our energy field. It's a vulnerability that we are creating when we don't forgive. We're letting a wound remain unhealed. We're letting it just fester. We're letting it's like, you know, having a wound, you know, having a scratch, getting a scar, and, you know, never letting it heal, constantly ripping the scab off, you know. And the more little things that we don't forgive or we can't forgive, we think, you know, because it's not that we can't, we definitely can. The more of those little wounds that we have, the more of a vulnerability that we have, the more weakened we become. And the thing about that is that not only is it, you know, tears in our energy field, and it creates a heaviness on our heart. It creates a heaviness in our mind as well, and it weighs the soul down. You know, so often we think that if, you know, something is really hurtful to us, if we've been wronged in some way or something like that, and we can just push it to the back of our mind, I'm not going to think about that anymore. Well, that's fine. That's your conscious mind that's saying, I'm not going to think about this anymore, so it's not going to bother me. you know, this person or this thing happened to me and it's unforgivable, but I'm just going to push it away. I won't even speak of it. I won't even talk about it. You know, there's a lot of people out there with these things, these experiences that they try to push out of their conscious mind in that way, and that's fine. But the problem is that, yeah, you may put it out of your everyday consciousness, but it still lives in your memory, and it's a painful memory, and you will continue to consciously or subconsciously associate pain with that. And, you know, not only that, but, you know, something happens later on that's similar, you know, or it reminds you of it in some way. It can trigger those feelings again. This is how post-traumatic stress syndrome works, among other things, you know. It's like you have an initial trauma and you can't wrap your head around it, you can't deal with it, you can't forgive it, you can't release it, you can't let it go, and you put it out of your mind and you go along life, and then something similar happens and it brings all that pain back up. So in whatever way you can find, and I think, you know, having an International Day of Forgiveness is a great opportunity to do it. Find something to let go of on August 2nd. Find something to forgive. It doesn't have to be the biggest thing. If you forgive the biggest thing and the most horrible thing that's happened to you, then you release the biggest amount of negative energies. And you get the most healing out of it. But same thing goes for the little things, too, you know? It's like a little lighter. Make yourself a little lighter on August 2nd. There's a date, International Forgiveness Day. So you got a reason to do it. Just take one little thing and let it go and say, you know, I forgive that. And if it's a person that's hurt you, forgive them. That doesn't mean you invite them back into your life if you don't want to. That doesn't mean you ever have to do anything for them, but you're going to do it for yourself because you want that healing and you want that release and you want a little bit of at least one burden lifted. So that's all I have to say about that. Why don't we go ahead and take a call here? I've got people waiting. Sorry about that. Oh, great. No, Blog Top just dropped. Okay, well, here's one. Okay, well, they've not been waiting too long. Let's see what they have to say, if they want to share their journey or if they have a question or if they want a free crystal reading. And this is going to be, they've only been waiting a couple minutes here, which is kind of cool because I don't really like to keep people waiting. This is area code 631. Area code 631, are you there, caller?
Yes, hi. I was wondering, I just tuned in. Are you doing readings or?
Yes, we're doing readings, or you can ask questions about crystals or share your own experiences with them, whatever you like.
I mean, like, you have crystal readings, you know, like it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like it says what the crystals are saying?
Yes, exactly. You know, so it's like I work with the stones, and I also have crystal cards that I use together with it, or sometimes just the stones, either one.
All right, that's great. What do you see with my love life? What do the crystals and the stones say about my love life?
Okay, let's take a look at the love life going on for you. Okay. Okay, and I'm just going to reach in here and see who wants to talk. All right, well, great. Okay, so we got a few things going on here. The first stone that I pulled is actually, and this is really lovely, it's green quartz. Okay, so for one thing, you know, green is that beautiful color of healing. It's also the heart chakra, okay? And what's interesting about this is two of the heart chakra stones came up with that. We got green quartz first, and then we have rose quartz, which is a stone of love. And also, it has such a gentle energy to it. And then the last stone that came up here is the silent stone, you know, and this is a stone that really talks about waiting for kind of the right time for things to begin anew for us. So looking at all of these, when we're talking about love life, right, We see some new energy coming in, a sense of like there being a new beginning, but, you know, timing is going to be important for this. And the timing has so much to do with those other two stones, with that rose quartz and with that green quartz stone. And what they are saying is that, for one thing, and you've heard this a lot, I'm sure everybody has, it is about really being able to appreciate ourselves, to love ourselves. You know, rose quartz is really saying, like, you know, you talk about love life, and there is love there for you. How much do you love yourself, you know? And green quartz is also talking about, you know, this idea of being able to let go of any of the hurt that may have been there in the past, you know, in that area of love life, okay? And the thing that's really interesting about this is that I feel that more than anything else, having that rose quartz, green quartz come up and say, heal the heart, because love is right there at your door. And it is waiting for you to just say, like, I'm ready for this. I'm worth all of this. I'm definitely worthy of all of it. And, you know, I'm not getting the feeling that, you know, this is a long ways off at all. I really feel like, you know, and what's really strange, too, about this is this idea of a friendship turning into a love. This idea of friendship and love, you know, romance, basically, that kind of love, because there's all kinds of love, being intertwined. So when we talk about love life, we're talking about you having a very, you know, strong connection with someone that is going to be such that, and it's weird to say, but it's like you don't, this is what comes through, you don't have to worry about approval. It's all about acceptance. Does that make sense to you?
All right, yeah.
You know, and there's an element of surrender to this, you know, and an element of faith, you know, meaning that, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes things seem too good to be true to us, and so we hold back a little bit of ourselves, because we don't want to be hurt, you know, and so we kind of question it, and you know, it's really talking about, you know, the idea of it being safe, if that makes sense. Safe to feel, safe to give of yourself. And, you know, do you know someone who has a real, like what you would call earthy kind of energy to them, like very grounded, may even seem a little, they kind of practical and maybe even boring at times.
Do I know somebody like that?
Yeah. Is there a guy that comes off that way to you that, like, maybe you're not, you know, you might be friends with them, but you're not really involved with them yet?
I had one man who wanted to be more than friends, but I just don't want to at all. And then someone who's too wishy-washy. And then someone from the past who I was good friends with, but he hasn't called me since December. I wanted to see if he was going to call me back.
I feel that it's probably that guy that you used to know, because he's slow coming to this, and it is about kind of a new beginning between the two of you. So I don't think it's the wishy-washy guy or the first one you mentioned. I feel like it's the one who we've,
I knew all of them in the past. I've known one for about a year, another one for a year, another one for 3 years.
This feels like, you know, this has taken its time. You know, like, I feel like, you know, it's like somebody who, you know, has been kind of slowly moving towards this with you. And, you
well,
know,
The one that was wishy-washy, he doesn't call anymore. And the other one, I don't want to be more. And the other one hasn't called either, so it's no one's called.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, well, that would definitely, you know, fit the slow-moving thing. But let's look at this guy from December. Let me just pull a card on that and just see if that's who we're talking about. Because I feel like this is like, you know, a new beginning with somebody. And, yeah, you know, I do think Sugar Light comes up for that. So, yes, I have a feeling your guy from December is somebody you are going to be hearing from. And, you know, time frame on this, you know, I feel it's before the end of summer. So maybe, you know, we're looking, you know, between now and the end of August at the most. But I feel like this is something like already in the breeze, so to speak, in his mind, so to speak.
Well, someone, my friend's supposed to fix me up with somebody. She gave him my number a couple of days ago, but he hasn't called yet. I don't know if it's him. And then I'm supposed to go to a dance on Saturday. I don't know.
Mm. Well, let's take a look real quick at the one that your friend.
I don't know anything about him. I just know she wants to set him up.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know that that's going to be, you know, what you're looking for, this guy, you know. But I don't think it hurts to kind of, you know, get out there and meet people either, you know. Because we never want to.
You think I'm going to meet anybody Saturday night at the dance?
Okay. Well, okay, let's take a real quick look at that. Saturday night at the dance. That sounds fun. Okay. Reminds me of that Elton John song. Okay, so. You know, I think that you might meet somebody who is a bit tempting, but I would be a little bit, you know, cautious and move slowly getting to know whoever you meet at the dance. It's going to be one guy in particular that is going to be pretty charismatic, you know, good looking, inviting, but, you know, take your time and use your intuition with that one. Okay?
All right. Yeah, I'm one or the other. I wanted the guy from December to call, but he's younger than me, so I figured maybe that's why he just blew me off.
I don't know. I kind of feel like, you know, it could be, you know, a factor in why he needed some, you know, some time. Maybe the timing was wrong with him. I feel like this is somebody who's going to come back around and that, you know, a friendship's going to develop into something more with that. So, you know, look, you know, you're the captain of your destiny, you know. You call the shots in your life, and when you hear from him, you know, which I really feel you're going to hear from this guy, you know, follow your heart. Don't worry about age differences unless it's something that actually ends up bothering you, you know.
No, it doesn't bother me, but I don't think he's going to call, but he's probably dating someone else.
Well, see what happens between now and August with him. You know, don't focus on it. You know, let it happen, because I think, you know, that it's been a timing thing for that guy more than anything else. He may not have been ready, but I think there's this sense of, you know, him becoming ready.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for calling. You take care. Bye-bye. All right. What an interesting call. And I'm so glad I was able to... Vlog Talk just keeps dropping all these calls. Okay. I was just trying to put her on hold. And I don't know. You know, look, I love Vlog Talk Radio, and I love doing the show here on Vlog Talk, but boy, the switchboard gets kind of weird sometimes. And even the chat room gets weird sometimes. I don't know. Modern technology, right? Okay, so let's see if the switchboard comes back alive here or not. In the meantime, my goodness, we've already been talking for quite a while, haven't we? So why don't we at this point, go ahead and listen to a word from our lovely network. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what's going to be coming up on the show. We can talk more about forgiveness. Well, you can call in and we can talk about whatever you want. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. I'll see you. I guess I won't see you. I won't hear you either. But you'll hear me again in another couple minutes. Hang on.
Schedule your reading with one of the psychics at Attune. PsychicsAtTune.com. Have you always wanted to create your own tarot or oracle deck but thought you needed to be a graphic artist? Self-published decks are really hot right now, and I could show you how to do this. No Photoshop required. Contact me, Mary Nail, at marynail@attunemagazine.com.
www.thereisarockforthat.com. Visit the website where there's a stone for that, an idea for that, a story about that, and even a reading with solutions for that because, well, we just happen to rock like that. Need to relax? Or raise your vibration? Want to know how gems, crystals, and rocks can enhance your life? Get a crystal consultation. For entertainment purposes only, crystal consultations do not in any way replace treatment by licensed healthcare professionals. Come explore the wonders of the Crystal Kingdom at www.thereisarockforthat.com.
Welcome to Attune Magazine Radio.
And you are listening to There's a Rock for That on the Attune Magazine Radio Network. And today is our Open Lines and Open Mind show where you can call in to share your crystal journey or to ask a question about crystals or to get a free crystal mini reading. And in a little bit, we are going to start talking about this week's featured stone, our crystal guest, aquamarine. All right, so I thought it would be fun to kind of to take a look back at, you know, some of the things. We know the end of July already is kind of crazy because we are getting so close to the end of summer, which I think is a big relief for a lot of people. And we've had some really great shows, I think, you know, over the past month. It was really terrific. If anybody missed any of the shows that we've had, I would definitely recommend you listen to the one we did with Judy Hall, author of the Crystal Bible and Crystal Prescriptions, and author of so many different books when you think about it. She was sensational. She was a wonderful guest to have on. And all of those shows, if you missed any of them, are in the radio archive, which is on the right side of the page on theresarockforthat.com, the official blog for our show. And also, be sure, if you missed it, to check out the current July issue of Attune Magazine, which you can find on attunemagazine.com. And sign up for the newsletter because then you get the magazine directly in your inbox when it comes out. And a few people have asked me, it's actually a quarterly magazine, so it comes out quarterly. I guess that's like every 3 months, essentially. But it's really a spectacular issue this time around. You know, there's a great interview with Melinda Carver, of the host of Positive Perspectives Radio. She's a psychic medium, and she gives some really great, interesting information in that interview that she did. And if you missed it, just just a week ago, I guess a couple of weeks ago, I was a guest on Melinda's show, and we had such a blast doing readings for callers. My gosh, so many callers. You know, just shooting the breeze, talking about, you know, all things crystals and stuff, even things we didn't plan on talking about and things that we didn't get to talk about, sadly, that we had planned. So, but we had such a blast, so that's good. You look for Positive Perspectives on Blog Talk Radio here, and you can listen to that episode. Okay, I see a question. Our switchboard knocked off a bunch of callers. I was just going to take a caller, and now they're gone again. Wow, and it's done that twice now, wiped out everybody. Okay, so why don't we do this? I just see a question now for First Glimmer RH in the chat room. Hello, what crystals might help improve relationships / marriage? And one partner does not believe in the power. Can they still work? Oh, okay. So if one partner does it, let's address that aspect first, and then I'll give you some ideas for crystals to help with relationships. That idea of somebody not believing in the power of crystals and does it still work if you don't believe? And that's the thing that I love of crystals. There's so many different things in the world, right? Religion would be one of them, and even different metaphysical arts. You know, where people say, like, you know, belief is everything, and if you don't really believe, then it's not going to work. And, you know, you hear that a lot, actually, with the law of attraction, too. You know, if you don't really believe in your affirmation, it's not going to do anything for you. I don't know. I'm not going to speak to whether all of those things are true or not. What I can speak to is when it comes to crystals, it doesn't matter if you believe in them or not. It really doesn't. You know, they don't care. You know, crystals do what they do. You know, it doesn't require some great ritual on our part. Not that that can't enhance the experience for people. Sometimes it does. Working with intention, I think, enhances the experience as well, and maybe the efficacy. But you know, not really so much that you know you have to believe, or both partners, when we're using crystals for relationships, need to believe in the power of crystals. They don't. That doesn't matter. Okay, so there you go. And then on to the second part of your question, what crystals might help improve relationships and marriage? You know, number one, you know, well, okay, let's put it, first of all, easy in perspective here. Let's talk about working with stones that are associated with the heart chakra. Rose quartz would be the number one stone that I would recommend, you know, because one, it has a gentle energy to it. It's this lovely pink color. It has that, you know, color of love, let's say. You know, it's really pretty easy to find rose quartz hearts, you know, rose quartz that has been carved into the shape of a heart. And I think that would be a lovely thing to put around your room. You don't have to speak to your partner about, like, this is going to do this for us, you know, because then you set up this crazy expectation, you know, and then they stare at the stone. It's like, I don't feel anything. It's not working, you know, because already if they don't, you know, if they're objecting, you know, or don't believe in crystals, you know, then you don't even have to do that, you know. And I'm not saying being sneaky about it. I'm saying just place a crystal heart, a rose quartz crystal heart, you know, on the nightstand in the room, you know. They don't have to be shaped like a heart. I think with love relationships, it's nice to have that, and I think it makes a nice decorative thing as well. And you don't have to say anything about it, but, you know, on your own, in to yourself or out loud when you're alone with your crystal, I mean, you can talk to it just like you would talk to me or anybody else in your life about what you would like it to help with. You know, help me make my marriage stronger. Help bring us closer together. Help us to resolve any conflicts that we may encounter or that we're dealing with. You know, help us to bond more. You know, whatever it is that you would like to help with a relationship, you know, tell it to the rose quartz crystal. you know. And you can use other, you know, heart chakra stones as well. You know, aventurine is a green stone. You know, the heart chakra colors are green and pink. You know, aventurine is a green stone that would also bring in the healthy aspect, help make the relationship healthier, you know, help your heart to be healthier on an emotional level and bring some good luck into the relationship as well. And again, you know, talk to your stones, either out loud or to yourself or when you're with them alone. You know, do you really have to do any of that? No, you know, like I said, they work whether we believe in them or not. But, you know, I think intention helps them to, you know, helps to strengthen the connection and helps us to have that focus. You know, some other stones, you know, I think, you know, kunzite, K-U-N-Z-I-T-E, is another lovely pink heart chakra stone that is great for love and for relationships. There's a lot of, you know, ways to approach it. You know, there's going to be a lot of different stones. Rhodochrosite, you know, is another beautiful stone. There's even a pink carnelian stone that you can work with as well. And then also you can look at, you know, the different aspects, you know, because relationships are very complex things. You know, one person alone, you know, has its own complexities. And when you add another one to the mix, well, then, you know, no wonder we have to work at them. You know, wonder that we have to, you know, do what we can so that two people can actually, you know, get on the same page and merge and have a life together, you know. So there's a lot of different ways you can approach it. What I would say is examine the relationship. And, you know, visualize in your mind what the ideal condition is for that relationship. Where are the kind of, you know, sticking points? Where are the parts that, you know, you would like to move forward on or move past or be able to smooth out or to make better than they are, you know? And then when you can break it down into those little things, you know, like, you know, is it an intimacy thing, right? If it's an intimacy thing, then you also want to add some red stones to the mix, right? You know, something like, you know, some of the stones that, you know, historically have been considered, you know, to have aphrodisiac qualities, you know, some of the red stones. Even amethyst, carnelian, red jasper, those would be Greek stones. And those are more of the base chakra stones. And in a sense, I mean, when you think about it, you can take a relationship and any kind of issues, you know, things basically that you may have that you want to be improved in your relationship. And I bet if you really think about it, you can associate all of those things with one of the seven main chakras, right? So like if communication is an issue, if you have a hard time talking to each other, you feel like you don't really communicate well anymore, you can't really speak to each other, throw some blue stones into the mix, right? You know, because that's the throat chakra. And so blue stones are associated with that, you know? If you feel it has to do with, you know, you want more of a spiritual connection, you know, throw in some of the crown chakra stones. You know, you could get to clear quartz, which is really easy to find. Opophyllite would be another one. Selenite is another one, you know, if it's a spiritual connection that you want to work on. You know, if in general, you know, working with the heart chakra is going to, you know, not steer you wrong at all, because it's going to give you a good thing with the general relationship and closeness and love aspect of it, you know. So, you know, kind of spend some time kind of thinking about it. What areas do we need to better connect to, and how might that relate to the seven main chakras, where the areas we need to work on, and what stones are associated with that, and go by color. That's an easy way to do it, you know. And then that way, that, you know, that allows you to actually kind of create your own kind of, you know, personal, specific to your relationship and you know, the areas that need to be kind of improved. You could even, you know, we do this series on, you know, every second Thursday of the month during the summer. We've been talking about crystal grids. And you could take the stones that you feel are going to be the ones that speak specifically to your relationship and what you would like to, you know, enhance and have happen with it, and create a grid out of those stones. And just, you know, a grid is a geometrical design, you know. You could put, you know, like a rose quartz heart, like right in the center of it, and the other stones that you think would enhance, you know, those specific different areas that you want to work on the outer, you know, outside of that center stone. And, you know, you could do it in the shape of a heart. You could create a grid in the shape of a heart. You know, it's funny. It's like examining this question is giving me this idea. You know, maybe I'll tell you what, that's the first Thursday. So, like, the second Thursday of August, whatever date that is, I forget, is when we'll do our next grid. And, you know, yeah, let's talk about relationships. I'll do a relationship grid on there and cover that in more detail. But just right now, for first glimmer, you know, those are just some ideas. And our next gridding in a couple of weeks here will be a relationship grid, and we'll talk about that. So, anyways, I just kind of rambled on this question. I hope that's helped you. And, you know, thanks for the question, because I think it's one that, you know, is something that, you know, we all deal with, right? You know, life is full of interpersonal relationships and marriages and romances and friendships and stuff. And crystals are definitely able to help us in that department. Our partner does not have to believe in them. And it's always good to work with the heart chakra and, you know, then, you know, get more specific with it. So I hope that answered your question. All right. Well, it looks like it is time to start talking about our crystal guest this week, Aquamarine, which, you know, like I said, I got such a great response from people. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Aquamarine, I've noticed, and I don't know how many of you watch some of the shows that are on TV these days about, you know, mine for rocks. Oh, cool. You know, you're welcome, First Glimmer. I'm so glad you found out about our show. And I hope that helps you. And definitely, yeah, that'll be in 2 weeks when we do the relationship grid. And thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us today. So let's talk about Aquamarine, this week's crystal guest. And, you know, Aquamarine is actually the name that they have for what is blue beryl, you know, B-E-R-Y-L. And out of all the barrels, Aquamarine is probably one of the most, you know, desired when it comes to, you know, retail and jewelry shops and stuff. And it's really a beautiful stone. If you watch any of those mining shows like Treasure Hunters and stuff, where they have these different groups that they follow where they go and they mine for different stones, like especially like lately I've seen, you know, a lot of it going on in the Rockies, and they are just, you know, finding pockets and pockets of aquamarine. And it seems to be all about aquamarine on these shows. And, you know, it's something that is, you know, pretty well sought after. It's an interesting thing, you know. Historically, it was known as like a sea green beryl. You know, the name aquamarine was first used in a gemological work by Anselmus de Boot in his Gymnarium et Lepidum Historia, which was published in 1609. And it probably comes from the common Italian word aqua marina, meaning literally sea blue. And, you know, it's kind of a you know, really interesting stone, you know, and it was described even at times as being a water sapphire, you know, historically. And this goes back to like the 14th century lapidary by Jean de Mandeville. You know, he had this whole passage there on water sapphire, but it wasn't about a sapphire at all. You know, everybody since then has drawn the conclusion he was talking about aquamarine. And what he said of it was that, you know, those from the east are the rarest. Some are translucent and some are opaque, and they're very potent against seductions. And if anyone is trapped and he touches an aquamarine on four facets and he touches the bolts on the door of any given trap, soon he will be free. And the aquamarine will restore the sinner to God. It protects against enemies and ill will, and it's very valuable to a person who has fevers or other hot spots on his body. It comforts the mind and reduces sweating and swelling, and if one puts it on his stomach, it alleviates indigestion and cramps. And if one puts it on his heart, it relieves melancholy and vain thoughts. And cured of an illness, one says, "I'm immune." But if one touches the stone too much, it loses its potency. So it must be treated carefully and delicately. You know, and that was the thoughts about aquamarine in the 14th century. And then later on, you know, it kind of continued to gather, you know, these different attributes to it. You know, the Romans believed they had the ability to protect one from the perils of the sea. They also thought that it gave the owner a youthful vigor and cured any person of laziness. So if you're feeling lazy, maybe get an aquamarine. Our favorite historian, Pliny the Elder's description, you know, described it as, the lovely aquamarine, which seems to have come from some mermaid's treasure house in the depths of a summer sea, has charms not to be denied. And he continued with this whole list of, you know, various barrels and their specific charms and everything. So when you're looking, actually, you know, if you look in a book of crystals, or if you're looking online and stuff at the different attributes of aquamarine, it's also good to look under beryl as well, B-E-R-Y-L, since it is a form of beryl. You know, because not only, you know, do the specific stones have specific qualities to them, but also they also hold the qualities of, you know, their, I guess you could call it their parent group in a sense, you know. Looking at what, you know, Melody, when Love is in the Earth, had to say about aquamarine. Now, she associates it astrologically with the signs of Gemini, Pisces, and Aries. And as I've talked about before in the show, when you look at the astrological associations of various gemstones, and even Judy Hall said this when she was on a few weeks ago, is you're going to find lists and lists and lists and lists. So for me, I kind of throw that all out the window and just work with what I'm drawn to and feel a connection to, or intuitively feel like I need to work with this stone. Or, you know, like Judy Hall, who actually did a crystal zodiac book not that long ago, said, you know, work with what makes the best sense to you. You know, like she came up with her list, and that's, you know, if anything, I might check out, you know, what Judy has to say about it. But, I mean, she did so much, tons of research and stuff, you know, that it got to the point where she's like, wow, okay, I've got to go with what makes sense. So I feel like if anybody has a good handle on any astrological associations there may be with crystals, Judy Hall would be my go-to gal. But, you know, like the first caller that we had earlier in the show was talking about, you know, he wears these certain stones that he's chosen astrologically because it fits, you know, his astrological probably chart or profile there. And, you know, look, you know, like when we had Dusty White on a few months ago, you know, there's a lot of different approaches to astrology as well. You know, you have Western astrology, you have Eastern astrology, you have Vedic, you know, and depending on, you know, which you subscribe to, that's going to influence what astrological signs you feel are associated with certain stones. But, yeah, for Melody, Love is in the Earth associates Gemini, Pisces, and Aries with it. And she calls it, you know, and it's, you know, other people have called this, the stone of courage, saying that it enhances one's ability for rapid intellectual response and helps one to maintain, remain impeccable through assimilation of knowledge concerning one's beginning and the reality which one has actualized. It's sort of like an I am who I am and I accept that kind of stone. And she says it can accelerate the intellectual reasoning processes and make one unconquerable through learning, not only about the physical world, but also learning about oneself. And that it provides, I thought this was really, you know, interesting and probably, you know, of note to a lot of us, that it provides a shielding property for the aura and the subtle bodies, you know, energy bodies. And it encourages the innate ability to always be prepared. So it'd be a great stone for Boy Scouts. One way of protecting oneself temporarily from pollutants is to imagine the essence of aquamarine in the air on all sides. The difference in the air quality is usually recognizable. So that, I think, would be an easy way to test, you know, how connected or how sensitive you may be to the energy of aquamarine is just through that visualization or imagination, whatever you want to call it, that you've got aquamarine in the air, surrounding the air around you on all sides of you, and see if you can maybe feel, smell, or sense a difference in the air quality suddenly. So like if you live in a real, you know, big city, big smoggy city, you know, when I lived in Los Angeles, you know, you could become very attuned to the air quality there, you know, especially because, you know, there would be a lot of, you know, forest fires, it seems, especially in the summer, of course, that would be miles away, and it would just make the air so thick, even down in Los Angeles, especially in the valley, and, you know, your eyes would burn from the air. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if we live around a lot of pollution, we can definitely, you know, we can feel it, we can smell it, we can sense it. So that's this idea of visualizing or imagining that the air around you is filled with the essence of aquamarine, you know, I think is a great kind of test to do. All right, and so, you know, and she goes on to say there's a flowing quality to the energy of aquamarine, and at the same time, the energy is also structured so that balance and order are maintained, and that it can provide an alignment of the chakras and balancing of the network of structures connecting the physical and ethereal bodies. On the spiritual level, it can help you to attune to more levels of awareness. If you're involved in spiritual development, it can provide an emotional and intellectual stability and enhance the connection with the higher self. It can enable one to travel deep within the self and understand your own complexities. And to simplify, you know, the information you get from doing that and at the same time remain centered. You know, aquamarine does have this sort of very gentle energy to it. And, you know, I would say, you know, compassion is definitely a stone that fits with that. And, you know, I think because of that, you know, it talks about, you know, this idea of it helping people who maybe are judgmental, to be more tolerant. And if you feel like swamped or overwhelmed, it can help you to kind of bring order to things that you feel overwhelmed by. You know, it stimulates, activates, cleanses the throat chakra. So it's a great stone for communication and enhancing communication and facilitating it. And, you know, this I thought was really interesting, the idea that it can provide for access to stored information concerning your own body and enhance your insight into the practice of, you know, achieving like the most perfect state that your body can achieve. And with that, on the physical level, it has been associated with these ideas of being able to, you know, and again, okay, before I get into all the physical, you know, health considerations with aquamarine, let me get about my regular old disclaimer here that, you know, I think it's important to consult with the appropriate licensed medical professional instead of just working with crystals in lieu of that, because I think, you know, the proper diagnosis is always a great starting place, and getting, you know, the proper treatment from the licensed medical professional should you need one is very important. And then use stones to enhance that healing process to complement the treatment you may need. Because we don't want anybody with a serious medical condition thinking, okay, I don't have health insurance, so, you know, I'll just try and use crystals instead of going to the doctor, you know. Because, you know, in the long run, you know, it's better to know exactly what's wrong with you and get a good diagnosis and the proper course of, then, you know, help speed up that healing process and the journey to wellness through the use of crystals that, you know, work with the specific ailments that you may have. And when it comes to aquamarine, we're talking about things like swollen glands. And the idea that it can be used to help balance and fortify the glands. It's said to be excellent for the eyes and for improving vision, and can assist in the maintenance of teeth and the formative bone structure. You know, there is also some other ways in which it can enhance us. But, you know, I think that the teeth thing, the idea of the maintenance of teeth for aquamarine is a great example of what I'm saying about, you know, the proper care. So, you know, say you're somebody who doesn't like to floss and just wants to, you know, hold an aquamarine instead, you know, chances are, you know, you're going to be better off if you are also brushing and flossing regularly. And aquamarine can help you maybe keep your real teeth longer, you know. And that might sound strange, you know, if you're listening and you're in your, you know, teens or 20s, you're like, keep my real teeth? Are you crazy? I'm going to have them forever. Well, not necessarily. You know, as people grow older, you know, the teeth, you know, sometimes, or, you know, the teeth, hair, whatever, sometimes can be some of the first things that, you know, that start showing the signs of aging. So just something to think about there, you know. Other things, you know, again, throat chakra. So it has been useful for sore throats. And even thyroid issues. There's this idea out there that it can harmonize the pituitary and the thyroid, which regulate, you know, thus regulating hormones and growth. And because of that, I think it's also thought of as a great kind of, has a general kind of, I guess we could call it, tonic kind of effect when it comes to strengthening the body's cleansing organs. You know, thought to also not just with the teeth, but also aid the jaw. And, you know, just like they thought in the 14th century, it's also associated with being helpful for the stomach. And when we talk to, you know, helping with the eyes and vision, you know, that's really, you know, this idea that it can counteract short or long vision. So like if you're nearsighted or farsighted, it's said to kind of help with that. And can supposedly calm overreactions of the immune system and things like hay fever. So those are some things to think about, and how do you use it? So all these different places on the body and different systems in the body that it's said to be helpful, for balancing out or cleansing or whatever, you can just hold it aquamarine or place it in that area. You know, just like they were saying, Mandeville was saying back in the 14th century, you know, if it's your stomach, put it on your stomach, you know. And if it's the eyes, you can place it on the eyes, you know. Now, look, sometimes that can be kind of tricky when we're doing body placements with stones to, you know, get them, you know, not to fall off. And especially with the eyes, you know, obviously we're talking about with your eyes shut, you know. If you could put, you know, if you have little maybe tumbled pieces of aquamarine and you set them on your eyelids, like maybe you would like a cucumber slice. And that's something you could also kind of do to balance it better, is to actually put it on a cucumber slice. And that's to keep it from falling off your eyelid. But, you know, something else that I think is just as effective, I don't know how many of you have those, eye covers. You know, some people have like little, you know, what do they call them? Like little sleep, visors or little blinders. Are usually like a little soft thing that you put over your eyes. Or sometimes we have like little eye masks that we'll put on, you know, that are like, I have a really nice one that I like that's just filled with like that blue gel stuff. I don't know what's in that blue gel, but like you can freeze it and you can put it on your eyelids, you know, and it just feels good. Well, you could put the aquamarines on that little sleep mask or on the little, eye mask or whatever, too, if it's a vision thing that you want to work with, you know. These are crystals. You know, they have a strong enough vibration that they can, they don't have to have direct skin contact, although a lot of people prefer that. You know, and sometimes the feeling of putting a crystal on your skin, you know, kind of reinforces, you know, the intention that you have or the feeling that you have. Oh, yes, Jason Stillman's in the chat room and he said sleeping mask. As I struggle to define what those are. Yes, sleeping mask sounds right. I don't know what you call them, right? But I have, like, you know, a bunch of them. And, you know, sometimes people even have what they call eye pillows. Like I have one that's filled with, I don't know, some kind of aromatherapy concoction. You know, I think it's got lavender in it and maybe flaxseed or something. And sometimes I'll put that over my eyes. And you could set the aquamarines on top of that, or depending on how it's designed, you could put it inside. But, yeah, so, I mean, these are all great, you know, ways to also, you know, use crystals, you know, in a body placement. And you don't have to worry about it directly contacting the skin, you know. And that's the thing, you know, it's like you're going to read, if you're into it and you're looking for it, you're going to read all different kinds of ideas about, you know, how to work with crystals, right? And a lot of times you're going to be told this is the only way it works, or this is the exact way to do it, or you have to do it this way, this must, you know? And I can tell you that I have tested out a lot of these things and have found that, you know, really it's such an individual thing. So it's your experience with crystals, you know, and you do it the way that you're comfortable with the most. You know, like aquamarine, you know, we're talking about, you know, all the different things that aquamarine can do and how we might use it. You know, one of the ways you can use it is to make an elixir with it, right? You know, where you put it in water, and then you put the water in a spray bottle, and then you spray that around a certain space, or maybe you spray it on your skin. You know, I'm not a huge, huge fan of elixirs. You know, I'm not. You know, there are a lot of crystals out there that have toxic properties to them because of the minerals in them and the composition of them. And for a lot of those crystals, you know, you can still make elixirs with them, but you want to use what they call the indirect method, where you put the crystal in a bowl and then you put that bowl inside a larger bowl that has water in it. And some people like to put alcohol, you know, like drinking alcohol, like, you know, like gin or something, or vodka or something in their water as well. You know, but the indirect method is basically the stone never touches the water that you're going to be either, you know, drinking or spraying on your body. And then, you know, the direct method would be putting the stone right in the liquid and then using the liquid. And I've never been a huge, huge fan of that. You know, I don't know why. It's just a personal thing. You know, it doesn't mean I'm right and everybody's wrong or I'm wrong and everybody's right. You know, it's just a personal thing. And it has not doing elixirs, has not stopped me from, you know, enjoying the benefits of working with crystals, you know. So allow yourself to just be yourself when you're working with the stones, you know. You are who you are. They are who they are, you know. And, I say they because I do think of them as stone people. You know, and you don't. If you read something about working with a certain stone that just, you know, you don't feel comfortable with, or you're hesitant about, or like, I don't really want to put it on my skin. I don't really want to, you know, meditate with it. I really don't want to do that. Then don't do that, and don't feel like it's not going to work for you if you don't do the way that somebody else is recommending. Okay, so just I guess just a public service announcement out there to all you stone guardians and crystal keepers. So, you know, I think that pretty much wraps it up for today's show. And we'll be here next week. I think that was there something else? There was one other thing that I did want to share about aquamarine before we go that I actually really, really loved. And this comes from the book that goes with the crystal reading cards by Rochelle Charman, who we reviewed this deck on an episode of this show. I forget when we did this. It wasn't that long ago. But I just thought I would leave you with this wonderful message from aquamarine. It is time for you to speak your truth on a deeper level. The beautiful, loving devas of aquamarine have arrived to support you in mastering clear communication. It is the perfect time to reflect and come back to your heart center. You are encouraged to take an honest look at how you communicate. You're encouraged to work closely with aquamarine and ask yourself the following questions. Am I speaking my truth? Am I in my personal integrity? How do I receive what others are saying? Do I feel the need to interpret or challenge what's communicated to me? The key to mastering honest communication is to express your truth from your heart. So be sure to be, when listening, and allow others to express clearly their truth without judgment. Clear and loving communication is the foundation of healthy relationships. As you embark on this empowering journey, know that aquamarine is supporting you. So I will see you guys all next week. And I remember again, you know, we talked about it a lot earlier, and I just want to throw out there, August 2nd, International Day of Forgiveness. You know, let go of something, forgive something or someone. It doesn't mean it was okay what happened. It just means it's not okay to keep hurting yourself, you know, with that burden of carrying that. So even if it's a small thing or even if it's a big thing, the bigger thing that you can forgive, the more positive the effect it will be for you. You know, let's heal those wounds that we're carrying around in our hearts and in our minds. Let's let it go. August 2nd, International Day of Forgiveness. And not because we're saying it's okay what happened to us, but because we're saying, I love myself enough to want to heal this wound. I want to feel lighter. I don't want to carry it around anymore. All right? Just throwing it out there. August 2nd, pick the thing that you can forgive and let it go. And, you know, I challenge you to do this. And I guarantee 100% it's going to heal something if you do. So until next week, everybody have a beautiful and absolutely wonderful day and rest of your week as well. And I'll see you next Thursday here on the Attune Magazine Radio Network at Thursdays, on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Bye-bye, everybody.